The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning we're going to look at a story, and it's kind of a retelling of somebody else's story. And it got me thinking about how, if you and I were to tell your story, how would that go? Like, you know what I mean? For instance, there's a story that Nora always used to tell about one time we were out on the lake and we were in a boat, and I was trying, we saw rain coming. Like, it was obvious rain was coming. Oh, I'm driving the boat. And in my head, I could outrun the rain if I just went really fast in the boat and stayed on this side. The rain was over there. I could at least outrun it and get to the other side of the lake where it would be, you know, dry. Well, in the process of doing that, my dad was in the boat with me, and he looked over as the rain is just pouring down on top of us, and he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to outrun the rain." And he goes, "You can't do that. Just pull the boat over and park it." And so I did. And Nora used to love to tell that story. But what always struck me when Nora would tell that story is somehow I came out the buffoon. And I didn't understand that. Like, it made sense to me at the time. Like, I can outrun this storm. If I stay over here, the storm clouds that rain are over there. If I stay on this side of the lake, I can, like, you know, I can outrun the rain. And anytime, like, I tell that story, that's the part I make sure I get in there. I could most definitely have outrun the rain. If they would have just given me more time, I would have been out of the rain in no time. But when she tells that story, it's so different. And it got me thinking about your story and my story. And if somebody were to tell our story, what would that look like? And we're going to look today at the story of Moses. And so to get your brains thinking, to get you working this morning and thinking with me, I want to ask you, what do you know about Moses? Somebody shout out what you know about Moses. Somebody said something. He was a leader. Somebody else said something. Ten Commandments. Did somebody say Ten Commandments? Okay, Ten Commandments. What else you know about Moses? Humble. A basket. Lived in a basket for however long it took him. Daughter raised by Pharaoh. Okay. Anything else? He healed a man? Killed a man. Okay, killed a man. quite the opposite effect there. But yes, yeah, he killed somebody. What else you know about him? Anything? Chosen to lead the Israelites from Egypt. And these are all things that, like, go into the story of Moses. The Charlton Heston version, the Prince of Egypt version, the stories that highlight Moses' life. But we're going to look at a passage of scripture today where a guy named Stephen, is retelling the story of Moses. And it's funny because some of the things that we think would be in the story of Moses, where he, like, stands with his staff and, like, sea split and the sea goes both ways, like, that's not in there. That there are other parts where, like, I would expect that, like, they'd be in there. The Ten Commandments, where Moses comes off the mountain and his face is radiating the glory of God. If I was writing the story, that's the part that I would want to put in there. But what Stephen highlights is so interesting to you and to me, I think, because what it tells us is that we don't get to determine how our story is told. You don't get to determine how your story is told. I can't, regardless of how much I've tried and bribed her with candy and begged her, "Hey, listen, when you tell this story, make sure you tell the story that Daddy was being courageous and heroic and trying to save your life, not that I was a dummy who was trying to outrun rain." It doesn't matter. I can't control how my story is told. At some point in time, you and I are going to lay somewhere up here in a casket. And someone's going to stand up here and they're going to tell the story of your life. And really, you and I can't control a lot about that story. We can't control what that person says. But what we can do is we can try to make sure that how we finish is done in such a way to where it glorifies God with our story. And that's what Moses' story does. If you will, we're going to start in Acts chapter 7. It says this. Verse number 19, "He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for by his family, but then he was placed outside. Pharaoh's daughter took him in and brought him up as his own son. Now, we're going to pause there real quick, because when you read the start of this, this has got to be the worst possible beginning you could even imagine for a story, isn't it? Like, looking at Moses' story, he's born at the worst possible time. Go back and look at what he was being born into. He was being born into oppression. He was being born simply to die. Their babies were taken and thrown out after birth. Like, they were born to die. That was it. And he was taken from his family. Moses' story starts out tragic, right? It's the worst possible time. Anybody, we asked this question on Wednesday night, and I got a great response. I'm going to ask it here. Anybody ever question God's timing? God, why right now? Like, of all the times, of all the things that could go on, you pick now to have this happen. Why? It's needed. It's tough, but when you look at Moses' story, I can't help but think if he ever sat back and said, or his mom or his dad ever sat back and said, why now, God? I'll never forget the day we came here in October. That was our first time we came out here. Second time we came out here was in November. And like the very first of December, I think, is when we accepted and we were going to come out here as a pastor. We were right in the middle of this thing called Walk Through Bethlehem at our former church, where like days were long and it was just chaos. And I was out in the middle of woods picking up rocks, if you can imagine that, because we had to build a graveyard or a tomb. And so I'm picking up these rocks and putting them in the back of my truck. And I get a phone call from Kelsey. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. Like, she knows where I'm at. Why is she calling me in the middle of the day? So I call back and she is just sobbing, just boohooing, just tears like crazy. And I have no clue what's wrong. And all she says is, I think I'm pregnant. No, you don't understand. We're getting ready to move across the country. Like, we're fixing to uproot our family. We're going to leave everything. Our closest grandparents are 8 hours away. You can't be pregnant. That's not the way this is supposed to work. And she goes, I don't want to talk about it until after we move. So, yes, ma'am. I didn't say a word. Never mentioned it. Like, I didn't bring it up. I didn't ask any questions. I didn't say anything about it whatsoever at all. We moved. We got here. Still didn't say anything because she said, don't talk about it. I said, okay, I won't talk about it. It'd been quite a while. And she said, hey, I might need to go to the doctor. I think I'm still pregnant. I said, yes. I think that'd be a good idea. You should do that. But I remember in the process of that, why she was crying, and both of us sat there, and I'll never forget, we sat on our kitchen floor one night, both of us just sobbing, and it was like, why now? God, it was great, we're going to have a kid, that's awesome, like fantastic, I know that's a blessing, I know that's something that's unique, but God, this is the worst possible time for this. And there are so many times that in our life, we look at the beginning of our story, and we say, man, this is the worst possible time that this could happen. Moses' story continues. He pick up in Acts chapter 7, verse number 22. It says this, Moses was educated with all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in speech and action. Underline that if you have it in your Bibles. Verse number 22, he was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went down to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. Moses' story starts out tragic, but then when you read these passages, it almost seems like there's a silver lining, isn't there? He's raised in the Egyptian court. He's powerful in action and speech. There's almost this idea that while Moses' story starts out so tragic, there is a silver lining. There's this bright spot in his story where he's given all the potential in the world is right there in front of him. And he even realizes that he notices that, like, God's using him to lead his people. Hey, listen, I've been educated. I've been raised right. I've got good connections. I've got an in with the Pharaoh. This is God putting me in this position to take care of my people. It's funny to me that even when we don't see it, God is putting all kinds of things in motion. When you read this story, it's interesting that God is organizing, he's orchestrating all this different stuff to where, and I ask you guys to underline that phrase, Moses was powerful in speech and action. Later on, when God calls Moses and everything like that, going back to the book of Exodus, does anyone remember the excuse that Moses gives to God as to why he can't go? Can't talk. Hey, God, I can't get the words out sometimes. What a transition from a guy who is powerful in speech and action to a guy who later on says, hey, listen, I can't act, I can't do, I can't be this guy, God. But the whole time, God is using things in Moses' life to put him in a position to where he is the right person to lead. There are bright spots in Moses' life, and it's hard to see what God is setting him up for. Because God is surely going to use these bright spots as the catalyst for leading, right? There's that last phrase in what we read, and it says, the people didn't see what Moses was doing. Do you ever think that, like, man, God, if you could use the bright spots in my life and that would be how my story was written, it'd be perfect? We all want that, don't we? We want to have those bright spots be the highlight. We want to have the times when we are our most heroic, our most courageous, our best possible self. Those are the ones that people remember about us. But the truth is, a lot of times, that's not what people see. So Moses' story continues. And again, the people didn't see it. The next day, Moses came to two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other? But one man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Ouch. It's that gut check moment. Moses was set up. He was positioned. He was postured. He had been given all the bright spots to lead the nation and to be the representative from God to the people and for Pharaoh and do a great work in the nation of Israel. But he just got gut punched. You're not my leader. Hashtag not my leader. I'm not going to follow you. You're just as bad. You think you're better than me? You killed a guy yesterday. You going to kill me like you killed him? And it's tough when other people don't see the potential in us. They don't see the bright spots in our life. They don't see all the good things we do. When other people don't see the potential of what God's doing in your life, all they see is all the stuff that you've ever done wrong. And that's what they want to hold against you. That's where Moses' story is now. He thought that, listen, God, if you could just use those bright spots, if you could use the fact that I was educated, I can speak well. God, if you could use the fact that I have an in with Pharaoh, if you could use that, then surely all these people would follow me and I could be what you want me to be. I could lead this nation. God says, nope, that's not what I'm going to use, Moses. It's not those bright spots that I'm going to use. Because other people, they don't focus on the bright spots. They focus on the mistakes. They refuse to see the potential that God has placed inside each and every one of us. In trying to help his people, he missed the potential that God had in him. Moses had the ultimate fail. He tried to earn their trust. But in the process of trying to earn their trust, they focused only on his faults. That's how a lot of us are, aren't they? You ever wish, man, people would just forget that one thing you did that one time? Oh, man. If oh, if they could just forget this. I could be so great, God. I could do so much for you if there wasn't this in my life. That's not the way God works. So what happens to a lot of us, though, when that happens is exactly what happened to Moses in verse 29. When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. So, listen, we could spend 4 hours, which we're not going to today, but we could spend 4 hours just on that one verse. Because, man, isn't that all of us? Hey, listen, people don't see the potential in me. No one understands what I'm capable of. They don't get what God's doing in my life. All they see is the bad part. Forget this. I'm gone. I'm done. I'm going to go live as a hermit someplace in a shack by myself. And then we get there, and it's so interesting to me what he says. He settled as a foreigner. Now, I've talked to you guys, one of the worst things and one of the worst words I think that you and I can have in our Christian vocabulary is the word settled, because what this means is Moses went outside where he was supposed to be and decided, it's all right here. Is this where I want to be? Is this what I think God's doing in my life? No, but it's all right. And the phrase that he settled and he had two sons, what that means is he had established roots. He had set himself up and he said, hey, listen, you know what? I know that God has something way, way, way better over there that he has been doing in my life, in my heart, and I could get this. No, it's too tough. I'm good right here. I'm going to settle over here. I'm going to have my two sons. A lot of times for you and I, when things don't go the way we want, when people don't see the potential in us, it seems so much easier just to run away. To leave it all behind. To live as an outcast. Moses ran away and decided it was better for him to live as an outcast. And gave up on ever seeing what God could truly do in and through him. Let me beg you, church, don't let that be your story. And if we were to be honest, if somehow everybody had blinders on and it was just me and you, or it was just you and God, even better, and I were to ask you the question, how many of you have been here? Hey, listen, life's tough. It's done. Nobody sees what God's doing. Nobody sees the potential. Nobody sees all the stuff that I go through, that I work, that I try, that I beg to have this relationship with. No one sees all that. I just want to run away and I just want to give up. I wonder how many of you would raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I've been there. I've done that. That's been my story before. That was Moses' story. But thank God, verse 30 comes in. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. He went over to get a closer look. He heard the Lord say, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear and did not dare look. Then he said to the Lord, take off your sandals. The place you're standing is holy ground. I've seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their groaning and I've come down to free them. Now I will send you back to Egypt. This is the same Moses that they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through an angel who appeared in the burning bush. He led them out of Egypt, performed signs and wonders in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the wilderness. When God shows up, you and I can finish well. That's what happened to Moses, man. 40 years. If you've ever thought about that, and I know in Scripture, it doesn't seem like maybe that long, but 40 years, this guy was in that spot of thinking, hey, listen, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to just run away. I'm going to settle over here. I realize that God probably has something more for me, but this is all I can attain. This is all I can achieve right now. And so this is where I'm going to settle. I'm going to be happy and I'm going to be here. And as soon as he does all that for 40 years, when he's in the middle of all that, God says, no, 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 you're going back. You're going back to do what I originally called you to do, Moses. You're going to go back and you're going to lead my people. You're going to lead them out of Israel. Out of Egypt. You're going to lead them to a land that I promised them. You're going to do all kinds of great wonders. You're going to do all kinds of great signs and miracles. And Moses, you're going to be the leader that they need. And so Moses goes back. The same is true for you and I. When we get to that point where we think, I'm done. I don't want to go on anymore. I just want to settle over here as an outcast. God shows up, and when God shows up, he gives you and I the availability to finish well. The ending of our story, our final chapter, comes back to glorify God. And when you and I have the ability to finish our story well, it means this, that God shows up and gives Moses a plan to rescue his people. You and I will accomplish what you and I could not do on our own when God's involved. It only takes 11 verses in scripture, but it took 40 some odd years in the desert, in the wilderness, in Midian, being a shepherd to sheep, for Moses' story to get completely turned around. But when you look and you go back and you read verse 25 says this, Moses thought that the people would see that God, or realize that God was using him to rescue them. They didn't realize it at the time, but 40 years later, 40 some odd years later, when they go back and you read everything that Moses does, the people look at Moses and they say, you're the leader, you're him, you're the guy. The same people who rejected him and said, you're not our ruler, you're not our judge, you're not our guy. Come back. And he is exactly the guy, because when Moses did it the first time, he was trying to end his story under his power. He was fixing things the way that he saw fit. He murders a guy. Because in my mind, that makes sense. Because if I'm in control and I'm thinking about me and I'm looking at this and saying, this is the best situation for me, then I'm going to take actions that make sense to me. But later, when you look and when Moses actually leads, he's no longer doing that. He's been broken. He's been humbled. He's been brought to a point where he says, God, listen, the only way I can do anything is through you. Again, we went back and in the very beginning, it says that he was powerful in speech and action all the way to the burning bush. When God talks to him in the burning bush and he says, no, listen, I can't talk. I can't speak. I can't act. I can't think. God, I can't do anything. And God says, all right, fine. Then I'm going to bring help alongside you. I'm going to help you, Moses. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to be the one who leads the people through you. And that's how Moses finishes his story well. He stops trying to lead. He stops trying to accomplish. He stops trying to do things on his own and allows God to be the one who does things in him. Now, real quick, we're going to finish. I'm going to let you all get out of here and go have a great day. But I got to tell y'all, some of y'all, man, you've got a tragic, tragic start to your story. You look and it seems like everything's just happening at the worst possible time. And if you could write your own story, you would not want to include these chapters, because it just doesn't make sense right now. God, why now? Why right now? Why right now is this happening? Why am I born here? Why am I in this job now? Why am I in this position in life? Why am I raising kids? Why am I raising great grandkids or grandkids? Or why am I doing any of this stuff? I want to encourage you today that God's timing is perfect. It is flawless. It is impeccable. And so if God has you doing something right now, understand that his timing is flawless. Some of you have all kinds of potential. And when you look at your mind and you look at yourself and you see yourself, you see all the different things that God could do through you, but nobody else does. This morning, I want to tell you, hey, listen, hang in there. Because when your story is told years down the road, it won't take 40 years. It won't be the process that you have to live through. Other people will remember that you were this person who had all this different stuff, that nobody saw what you could do or that God could do through you. And it'll take 11 verses to get to the point where you are the person who God wants you to be. And what they will remember is not the person you were before, or the training or the education or the benefits or all the potential you had. What people will remember about you is what you did in God's name. So hang in there. If no one else sees the potential in you, you hang in there, because I promise you what they will remember about you is what God did through your life. Some of you are here this morning and you're done. You've settled. I said, God, I know you've got great plans. I know you've got good stuff. I know all that stuff. I've been in church my whole life, God, and I've heard all the good stuff, but it's too hard. It's too difficult. I don't want to do it. No one understands me. No one wants to think those things about me. I'm just going to settle down over here. I'm going to live outside your best as an outcast, because being over there is too difficult. This morning, I want to challenge you. Do not settle for less than God's best. God has the absolute best out there for you. He has called each and every single one of you to something specific. Don't believe me? That's great. Here, listen, you want to know what God's called me to be? I know God called me to be a pastor here. That's my vocation. God's also called me to be a husband. God's also called me to be a dad. God's also called me to be a son, a father, a friend, a brother. God has a calling on every single one of you's life this morning. Nobody else can do what you can do. There's no one else who can be you. Your calling is specific to you this morning. And when you decide that you're going to settle outside of God's best, there's this space over here where God is trying to influence, impact, lead, take people and point them to him. And he's not able to do it as effectively as he wants to, because he is waiting for this missing piece to submit and say, all right, God, I'll let you use me. Now, God's going to do what God's going to do, regardless of you and I. But I want you to understand this. It becomes a lot more beneficial for you and I when we become a part of what God wants to do. Some of you this morning just need to realize that your finish is going to be well. You need to let go. You need to trust and submit to God and say, God, you got this. Yeah, I think I do. But really, I got nothing, God. I can't do anything outside or apart from you. And so this morning, I need you to finish my story for me. And to finish it well. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for these individuals who are here. Lord, I thank you for the stories that you give us in Scripture. And God, especially this story of Moses. It's so interesting because there's so many things that Stephen could have told about Moses. There's so many bright spots. There's so many victorious moments in Moses' life. But God, what Stephen records is the fact that Moses was an ordinary man. God, he didn't have all the advantages. He had some. But Father, it was only when he came to the point of being humbled and submitting to you that you used him in a way that he could never imagine possible. Father, in this room, I know that you have great callings and great responsibilities and great things that you want people in this room to do. Father, some of them have tried for years and years and years under their strength, under their knowledge, under their understanding. And God, it's just never worked out. And so they've fled. They've lived in a settled land as a foreigner. This morning, God, I pray that they would surrender, trust, and submit to you and realize that through you, you can help them to accomplish all that you want them to do. The calling of their life can be fulfilled when they surrender to you this morning. God, I love you. We thank you for this day. I pray that during this time we would worship you And a part of our worship would be responding to whatever it is that you're asking or calling us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.